Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 26 and 27 for our text. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray. Father, we come now and we ask your help as we study your word, and help for these that are hurting in our congregation. Bless and help them, we pray. Lead us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the interesting things that about learning a language, I often hear missionaries that come through, and they'll have a story about how they were trying to say something in a certain language, and maybe they chose the wrong word, and instead of it coming out one way, it came out something completely different. Now, I've never had to learn a foreign language, but if you preach and speak publicly long enough, you will make a fool of yourself several times just getting the wrong word out there. I remember one missionary saying that in the language he was learning and trying to minister in, they had no concept of grace. And it was so difficult to teach the Word of God because there was no concept of grace. I've had discussions with Jennifer Scarfe, and I asked her a number of issues. Are there things that you're running into as you're translating into Bishlama? That there's no word, and she cited maybe two or three things where you have to make up the concept or the words to supply the concept of what you're trying to get across. Well, Paul tells us that we have the same issues speaking in spiritual terms and in the matter of prayer, trying to make our needs or our thoughts known to God. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. And we know that to be true because the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And so the only hope that we have to be spiritually discerning, to be spiritually knowledgeable in our conversation with one another or with God, is not that we make ourselves smart enough to be spiritually minded. It is that we become surrendered enough to the Spirit of God that the Spirit of God teaches us spiritual truth. The Spirit of God is given to us both to help us understand spiritual things, but also to help us communicate spiritual truths to men, and hear this, spiritual needs to the Father. I need the Holy Spirit to teach spiritual truth. And by the way, that's not only me, that's you. You need the Holy Spirit to help you teach spiritual truth if you lead a ministry or have a teaching ministry. But you may not have a teaching ministry at here, but you have children, and you need the Spirit of God to help you teach spiritual truth to your family, to your wife, to your children, your wife to your children. And you need the Spirit of God's help. But for our subject tonight, not only do we need the Spirit of God's help to teach spiritual truth, we need the Spirit of God's help to communicate our own spiritual need. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? I can't pray right without the Spirit of God. Have you ever considered that? You have no capacity to pray according to the will of God, unless you have the Spirit of God. You know, we sometimes say, is a lost man's prayer answered? Well, I would never say that a lost man is never heard by God, but I would always say that it would be very difficult for a lost man to pray according to the will of God except the sinner's prayer. And then once he's prayed the sinner's prayer, the Holy Spirit indwells him, and he can then pray spiritually as he grows and as he learns. And so we're talking tonight in this series on praying. How does the Holy Spirit help us in prayer? Notice with me, first of all, the indwelling Spirit of Christ. The Lord promised the disciples that He would send a Comforter to dwell with them. He said in John 14, and for the sake of time, I won't turn there, but it says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. Jesus Christ was a Comforter. As long as the disciples were in His presence, they were comforted by His presence. But He was leaving. And when He left, He was promising another Comforter, like unto Himself, will come and abide with you, pick up the reading, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. The work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit are an expression of all that God intends for His people. You and I desperately need the Holy Spirit. If we are going to understand the Word of God, which is God's message to us, then we cannot understand the Word of God. We can't understand the will of God unless we have the Spirit of God instructing us as to the truth of God. And therefore, He is indispensable to the prayer life of a Christian. We have access to the throne through Jesus Christ, but we have the ability to pray through the Spirit of God. And so spiritual prayer that is effective is prayer that is led by the Holy Spirit. Number one. Here's number two. The Holy Spirit teaches us the purposes of Jesus Christ, and we could say the purpose of Jesus Christ for our life. The disciples knew that they had much to be learned from Jesus Christ, but even after He left, they knew, and He told them so, that there was still much for them to learn. They couldn't learn everything they needed to learn in the 3 years that they were, 2.5 years that they were in His presence. There was still much to be learned. And by the way, all of our lives, we can't learn everything we need to know about walking with the Lord in the first month after we're saved. We can't learn everything we need to know about walking with the Lord the first year after we're saved, or the first 10 years after we're saved. Because God works in our life every day, and He brings us to the point where we can learn new things, where we can understand things today that we couldn't understand yesterday. When we have kids come to Heritage Christian School, we don't start them on pre-calculus in the first grade because their experience and their ability doesn't match that lesson. And so the Spirit of God patiently teaches us what we need to know for where we are and what we are able to receive or bear. So what's the point, preacher? All of our lives we are learning in the Spirit of God. We never come to the place where we are done learning. There is never a day where there is not something that we need the Spirit of God to teach us and to communicate to us and through us. And so the teaching of the Holy Spirit with its is the way we know that we're learning from the Holy Spirit is that it is in complete agreement with the Word of God. It never disagrees with the Word of God. The first thing I would say about the Holy Spirit and prayer is that you will never have confidence in praying something that is not consistent with the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit is not teaching you that. You might be, I pick on this because it's easy. You might be praying for a relationship with a certain person. But if that person is unsaved, you may make that work out, but God won't be answering that prayer. You follow what I'm saying? God, I think I love this lady, and I know she's unsaved, but I'm asking You to give her to me in marriage. And you may get married to her, but that's not God. Because God teaches us the principle of not being unequally yoked. So the Spirit of God is never going to teach us, never going to lead us in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. So He teaches us according to the Word of God. And that's why it is essential for us to have Bible-filled lives. I loved what Brother Scarfe said up here a few moments ago. It was 580 days of devotions. Okay, 1,080 days of devotions. Since I'm preaching and he's agreeing, we'll run her up. Why is that important? Why is it important to teach our children to have time in the Word of God? Why is it important? Why do I say that almost every service? Why do we pass out Bible reading cards? Well, because you just want to indoctrinate people. Sure, that's right. You got it. I do, but the point is, if the Spirit of God is going to lead us in teaching truth to others and communicating spiritual needs to the Lord, this is what He will use. If He's going to lead us into truth, if He's going to lead us into the will of God, the purpose of Christ for our life, this is what He will use. The more Bible you put into your child's life, the greater potential and possibility your child has to be able to discern perfectly the will of God for their life. Because the Spirit of God now has a tool by which He can lead the heart of that little child. And so essential to every successful prayer life is a teaching time from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. May I say, that's why we teach that the greatest devotional life includes not just a prayer time, but a Bible time that leads to a prayer time. Remember, we're not praying for our will to be done, but for our will to be molded to His and then to pray according to His will. Can I say that again? I doubt it, but I'll try. We are not praying for our will to be done. That is the teaching of our modern generation of Christianity. Just demand. Just pray and God will have to. Out of importunity, He'll have to do what you say. Can I just tell you, God doesn't have to do anything you say. He just doesn't. We are not praying for our will to be done, but for our will to be molded to His. Where does that happen? It happens when we read His Word and see His heart and understand His mind. And then as we read the Word of God and it shapes our thinking and it changes our perspective, our will is changed and becomes His will, and then we can pray according to His will, and then God will answer perfectly well when we pray according to His will. And so the Spirit of God helps us pray. Does He put the words in our mouth? No. He puts the Word of God in our hearts. And as He puts the Word of God in our hearts, our words become Spirit-filled words because we know the mind of God. Here's number three. Notice the Holy Spirit and the will of God. We're trying to walk this through. The Spirit of God is given us to, indwells us for a purpose. It is to teach us the Word of God and now the Holy Spirit and the will of God. I do want to take the time to go to Matthew chapter 20, would you? Matthew chapter 20. And in Matthew 20, I want to read a fairly familiar passage, but we're not going to address it as we usually do. Matthew 20, and start reading in verse 20. Notice it. Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping Him. That's a great start, isn't it? Mama bringing her two boys, James and John, coming before Jesus. We're going to worship You, Jesus. We love You. And desiring a certain thing of Him. Now, I know that that doesn't say prayer, but when we bow the knee before the Lord and we present our desires to Him, would you not agree with me that that's pretty typical of prayer? She comes to the Lord. She's worshiping the Lord. desiring something of him. Now verse 21. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now, usually when I'm preaching this, I stop right there and I start railing on a mother who will want special privileges for her child and demanding of the Lord that they get to sit on the right hand and the left hand. You mothers! But I want you to notice the next verse. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Wow. How often can that be said of us? Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. I'll stop reading there. But my emphasis is on, ye know not what you ask. Listen, she came worshiping him. She didn't come because she didn't love him. She didn't come disrespectfully. She came understanding who he was. And I believe with all of my heart, I think I'm right on this, she thought she was asking something absolutely permissible. She was asking from a heart that desired for her sons to be used in this way. And Jesus says back to this mother who is respectful, who is worshipful, who loves her boys, who loves him, you don't know what you're asking. She was asking according to her will. She was not asking according to the will of God. The request had been obviously selfish and not so obviously asked out of ignorance. And you and I can pray in exactly the same way. Our request makes perfect sense to us, and we may be incredibly sincere in what we're asking, but we do not see all that God sees, and we do not understand all that God purposes. And we do not understand or see, even as the ladies sang tonight, the parts of the will of God that are, we just can't see them. We can't understand them. We don't know them. And yet we come praying, asking things, and maybe even disappointed when God doesn't answer. That's why prayer without the Word of God is not effective. Prayer without the Spirit of God using the Word of God to transform our hearts so that our will is God's will. Not transforming God's will into ours, transforming ours into His, because we know not what we ask. Hey, people come to me with big problems and we'll sit down and start talking about really life situations. Maybe a marriage, maybe a child's life, maybe a life or death situation. I want to tell you, and I'm not saying this to be silly tonight or to be self-deprecating tonight. I'm just telling you, I quake at those moments. Somebody comes into my office and says, I don't know how to save my marriage. Preacher, help me save my marriage. Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do about this issue. I don't know what I'm going to do about that problem. I don't know what I'm going to do with my child. I'm just telling you, there is nothing. Maybe when you start out, you think you have all the answers. I'm telling you, about 40 years into it, you just say, can we pray? Because I don't know what God's doing. I don't know the hurts. I don't know the pain. I don't know what this one is thinking or where this one is going. I don't know what this one is doing. I don't know how God is working in that life or what God has done over here. And for me to just blurt out, well, here's what you've got to do. What utter foolishness. We need the Spirit of God to teach us. God, what is right? Now, He will always teach us out of this book. We don't have to make up right. We have to find right in this book. Jesus was completely committed to doing the will of His Father and was willing to deny even His own desires that He might be accomplishing the will of God. And that comes through time in the Spirit. It comes through having our desires shaped by the Word of God. And when we are not spending time in the Word and not spending time compliantly before God Almighty, you and I do not have a great chance or a great potential to know the will of God. Listen to the words of the psalmist, David. Teach me to do Thy will. At what point do you get to stop asking God to teach you to do His will? At what point is your seniority high enough in the Christian life when you can live your life without begging God, teach me to do Thy will? For Thou art my God, Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. When Brother Rice was here recently, he preached a great message on reminding us that when we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. That God won't upbraid us, but He'll give us wisdom liberally. But did you notice we have to ask? Did you notice that having wisdom and being able to give answers and being able to have confidence that we know the will of God, did you know that preceding that was asking? And as we ask, do you realize that as we're building this tonight, that there must be time allowing God and His Holy Spirit to work on our desires so that we are even willing to receive truth from Him? Number four, and I'm done. The Holy Spirit is both our guide and our helper. As I said a moment ago, and maybe I got ahead of myself, I doubt there's a day goes by that I do not sense a total lack of ability on my own to try to help in the situations for which I'm called upon. I rarely start a counseling session or approach a decision without acknowledging to myself and to the Lord that I am totally unable to make the right choice or lead off in the right direction without His help. How wise we would all be to have that habit in our lives. We ought to cry out like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said in chapter 10, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. That old weeping prophet, Jeremiah. Well, you talk about a smart guy, and you talk about a guy who was committed. He suffered. But even in the latter part of his life, he says, God, it is not in man to lead himself. He didn't say it's not in young men to lead themselves. He's not writing it as a young pup. He's not in the school of the prophets. He's the prophet running the school. And he said, it is not in a man to lead himself. And he cries out for God to lead him and to correct him when he goes the wrong direction. I'm simply saying, without the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and working it into our hearts and shaping our minds and shaping our wills, we cannot go off in the right direction. That's the value of devotions. That's the value of the Word of God. That's the value of being right with the Spirit of God, refusing to quench the Spirit of God, refusing to offend or grieve the Spirit. Because we need Him every day to lead us and correct us. In our text, the Lord tells us that the Holy Spirit helpeth us, said in Romans 8. That word help is the same word that Martha used in Luke 10:40 when she asked the Lord to tell Mary to help her. Lord, I'm doing all the work here. Mary's not in here helping me. You go tell Mary to help me. And when we come over to the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, God says, I've sent Him to help you. He'll bow down with you. He'll bow His head with you. He'll enter into your suffering. He'll enter into your needs. He is there to help you. Don't close Him out. Be filled with Him. The Holy Spirit is available to us. He is in us. He's alongside us. And though we pray with our minds and we pray with our tongues, we must pray in the Spirit. He must shape our thoughts before our mouths get in gear. By being filled with the Spirit, our orientation to everything in life becomes spiritual. If we're filled with the Spirit, then the mind and the purpose of the Spirit will begin to take precedence over our every attitude. And it will be the Spirit that governs our thinking and then our praying. We haven't even touched the fact that there are times when He makes utterance that we can't even understand on our behalf. Praying in the Spirit is not praying mindlessly. It is prayer that is tuned into the frequency of the Spirit of God. And with this, I'm done. Preacher, what's the point of this message? The point of this message is that God knew you could not do this by yourself. And so just as He was leaving His disciples, He looked at Peter and James and John and said, I won't leave you alone. I'll send a comforter. And He will be in you. He looked at Mike Edwards and he said, there is no way that guy can do it alone. I will send my Spirit and He will be in you. And then I'm going to take my word. And Edwards, if you will commit yourself to time in my word, if you will discipline your life to spend time in my word and be open to the Spirit of God, taking my word and molding your heart and changing your mind, then He will show you spiritual truth. He will show you my will when you can't see it by yourself. He will show you the direction you should take when you would never discover it by yourself. He will show you. And then He will lead you. And if you go wrong, Jeremiah said, correct me. Not with anger, but correct me. Help me. He says, that's why I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Because I know you need help. Can I speak honestly for a moment? Have you ever bowed your head early in the morning or late at night and not even know where to start? Not even know how to begin? You want to pray. And there's 100 things that you could pray about. That's why you pick this book up. And you say, Lord, you lead me. You teach me thy will. And I'm not saying that this has to be your Bible reading time. Maybe you've already done your Bible reading time, but But you enter into His Word and you say, Spirit of God, lead me according to Your Word. And as we submit to the Spirit of God, and as we study His Word, prayer launches itself in our heart because the Spirit of God is teaching us spiritual truth. Now, I'm not saying that our prayer time is scattered. Well, I'm going to read in Matthew today, so I'll pray Matthew stuff. No. I'm saying that we've got to get on the frequency of the Spirit before we reach for our human list. You pray by a journal? Yeah. All right, journal time. All right, thank You, Lord, for my salvation. Thank You, Lord, for my house. Thank You, Lord, I've got health insurance. Thank You, Lord. I checked the box. I just didn't pray in the Spirit. Lord, I've done my Bible reading. I've assembled real needs that I believe need to be prayed about. God, would You help me enter, Holy Spirit, would You help me enter into a time where I'm close to You and where Your presence can be felt in my heart, because, Lord, I want to pray not according to my will, but Your will. Oh, David said, teach me to do Thy will, O Lord. Jeremiah said, it's not in man. As we read, we're brought close to the Lord, and He shapes our mind and shapes our thinking. And then as we bring our journal and we bring our list, He can shape the very words that we say about that list. He was given to you to help you. That's what Romans 8, 26, 27 said. He was given to you to help you. Last night, then I'm really done. Last night, I don't know if you know this, but I love to fish. And I love to throw a cast net now and catch the bait that I'm going to catch the fish with. And I'm just horrible at it. And so we got a little device that you can put into your 8-foot cast net so that you throw it and it opens up beautifully. And the instructions, I lay my cast net out, I put this thing in there, and it says, do not attempt this by yourself. I've got a help meet. Do you? I went over to the door, I said, help meet from God. Always puts her under conviction. This says I need help. And she came out, and it was 185 in our garage. I look over her, she's sweating, I'm sweating, and we're just so sweet to each other the whole time we're doing it. And we got it done, and it worked, and afterwards I said, honey, isn't it wonderful to help each other? The Spirit of God is given to us to help. Let's call on Him. Let's surrender to Him. Let's take the tool that God has given to us so that He could lead and teach and instruct and shape and mold our hearts so that we could pray according to the will of God in the Spirit, and we will see God answer in marvelous ways. Let's pray.